welcome back to The One Where I Met Your Mother, a podcast about friends and usually how I met your mother. I'm David.
I'm Natalie.
How are you, Natalie?
I'm doing okay. It's daylight savings.
This is the first day of...
Yeah, so it's already... The sun's...
It's 4 p.m. and the sun
ready
is
ready to set, yeah. But I tend to like it. I'm kind of ready for it.
You like when it gets dark early?
Kind of. I'll get sick of it, I'm sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's...
I guess now that... I mean, I'm supposed to be... You're pretty much working from home.
Oh, yeah.
All the time. Now, I'm supposed to be going back to the office full-time in January. We'll see if that holds. That's the only time of the day that this, like, really bothered me was, like... And it's, like, it'll happen, like, all winter, but I hated, like... leaving the office at the end of the day,
yeah,
and it's already dark,
yeah,
like, because it feels like
the day is gone.
Oh, my day's just starting and it's already over, like,
yeah.
But now I don't think it'll bother me as much.
Yeah,
I'm trying to remember last year. I don't remember anything.
It's hard to tell. Yeah, I also appreciate my morning walks are a little bit warmer and sunnier.
Sure. Okay. There's a lot of people who want to get rid of this.
Yeah, I don't care. My dad was just talking about how he voted against it.
Yeah.
I don't know how many years ago. He's not always accurate with his timeline.
Yeah.
But yeah, he was complaining about it. Whenever people complain about, you know, in like springing forward and making a big deal out of it, it's kind of like, it's just an hour. It's fine.
And also, I guess sort of like, to me, all of our... devices
mm-hmm.
change automatically, and the change happens while we're asleep. So I noticed that, like, oh, it's light, dark early or light early, like,
yeah.
But it doesn't have any effect. Like, I have to, every 6 months, I have to remember to change the clock in my car. And that's the only difference that I really experience.
Yeah.
But I understand that, I guess some people have like a jet lag type of situation.
Yeah.
Which I don't.
Yeah.
So I guess I'm one of the lucky ones.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. Well, let's jump into Friends Season 1, Episode 23, the one with the birth. We will not be talking about How I Met Your Mother Season 1, Episode 23, because there's no such animal as How I Met Your Mother Season 1, Episode 23. We are just doing Friends, and it'd be a little bonus at the end.
Maybe. Is that a secret? Are we keeping it a secret?
No, yeah. We'll talk. We're going to talk about Mr. Diners because, okay, the numbers.
Yeah.
Look, people wrote in about the Cameron Manheim thing.
Mm-hmm.
People have commented. They've written reviews on iTunes. There's a couple of those. There's, like, I get, like, feedback on Twitter or comments on the Battleship Retention website. I know people are listening. The number of something people are listening, and certain people are engaged, but no, when we put out
no
the thing, like,
care.
What do you want us to do when there's not a How I Met Your Mother episode? No one cared.
Yeah.
So guess what? We're doing with the hell, whatever the hell we want, which is we're going to watch an episode of Mystery Diners
so
to talk about it.
That's the default. And yeah. This is your doing.
Yeah. Now you have to listen to us talk about a show that no one else watched.
Yes. You have to listen to us.
But that you should watch. Part of this is, like, the whole idea was that, like, Discovery Plus existing and us discovering that all of the episodes of Mystery Diners were on there was about the same time we started this podcast.
Yeah.
We were like, we should do a Mystery Diners podcast. And they're like, well, we'll find a way.
Yeah.
And here we are.
Yeah.
So at the end, we're going to talk about Friends. We're going to do a normal conversation about Friends and the segments and stuff like that. But, then we're going to just talk about a Mystery Diners
little
episode.
Bonus
yeah.
discussion.
It'll be fun. Hopefully we will convert some other people to the church of
Mr. Diners.
Yeah.
I think there's also, like, if you, you can do a, like a free month of Discovery Plus.
Yeah. That'll help for this episode and next week. But what about in another 6 months when we're doing this again?
Yeah, that's you know? True. Yeah.
Or in a few years when we have an entire season of Friends and Mystery Diners.
Oh, get excited.
This essentially is a, like, stealth Mystery Diners podcast now.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we're going to start by talking about Friends Season 1, Episode 23, the one with the birth. Not only does this episode not open at the perk... We never see the perk or any existing
yep.
set whatsoever. We
it's
are
all in the hospital.
Hospital.
Yep.
There's essentially three sets. There's the waiting room, and there's two different hospital rooms. Oh, and there's the closet.
Yes. Yeah.
Which, more on the closet later. But, yeah, this is obviously an immediate continuation of last week's episode, where Ross found out that, I'm going to say Carol, is going into labor. So everyone, all the friends, our crew, they arrive at the hospital before Carol and Susan because they stopped on the way to get a Chunky, which is a brand of candy bar that I've never had. I recognized it when, like, Susan was holding it up, like, do you want one? Yeah,
I don't think I've ever had it. I've seen it.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I wonder what it is.
Yeah, oh, I mean, this is what podcasting is for like
dead air. Us,
yeah, vamping while I look stuff up.
I'm gonna guess there's a nut element and a nougat.
Okay.
And chocolate. Maybe mallow.
Okay, hold on. You have to make some guesses.
Oh, I just did.
But you're doing too many things. There are three main ingredients.
Okay. One is chocolate. Is one marshmallow?
No.
Is it nougat?
No.
Is it caramel?
Nope.
Is it peanut butter?
It's not peanut butter.
Is it peanuts?
Peanuts. Okay. Now the last one, the thing that I guess separates a Snickers would be chocolate, peanut, and nougat, right?
And caramel.
Is it caramel and Snickers too? Yeah, there is, isn't there?
Yeah.
Okay. So remove the nougat and the caramel and replace it with, you are not going to guess this. Raisins.
What?
A Chunky is chocolate, peanuts, and raisins.
What?
I'm so glad I stopped to look that up.
Wow.
And so the answer, Susan, is no, I don't want one. I don't want a chocolate bar with raisins in it.
I think I do. You like raisinettes.
I like raisinettes. You're right. Yeah. But this sounds like molded trail mix is what it sounds like.
It sounds delicious. Like if you leave it under the seat of the car.
Like it melted.
It melts and then hardens. It would be good. All right.
I'm glad you think so.
Official food of this podcast.
Chunky. Oh, yeah. If you guys, and I know there's some of you listening, even though you weirdly didn't respond to that one question, you can find the Battleship Retention P.O. box.
Oh, yeah.
At BattleshipRetention.com. If you wanted to send us some Chunkies as like a gag.
Or anything, really.
We would like happily play along and eat those Chunkies.
We'll eat anything. If you want to poison us, if you want us to try your baked good or your home brew.
Yeah.
Spoiler.
All right. So we're in the hospital already. I started this episode being super annoyed with Joey. Here we go. Sirens. They're on their way. That's Carol on the way to the hospital.
Yeah.
I was super annoyed with Joey because I can't remember if it's someone says something about the mucus plug and Joey's like, oh, we don't need to know about
that. Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't care for that, but that didn't last because I ended up loving Joey in this episode. He's so good.
Yeah.
Carol's OBGYN is Jonathan Silverman.
Yes. What do you know him from?
What do I actually know him from? That's a good question because I know he's in Weekend at Bernie's and that he's like known for that, but I've never seen it.
Was he also in, he was in some other 80s movies.
Brighton Beach Memoirs, which is an adaptation of the
never saw that
Neil Young play. I've read the play, but I've never seen it.
He wasn't in Weird Science. He wasn't one of the dudes in Weird
Science. No, that's Anthony Michael Hall, and who's the other one in Weird Science?
Okay, I thought he might have been the other one.
Okay. Caddyshack 2, I definitely saw that, but I don't remember it.
No.
Weekend at Bernie's.
Yeah.
Death Becomes Her? I don't remember him in that.
Oh.
Jay Norman. Oh, Weekend at Bernie's 2.
Who was he in Death Becomes Her?
Little Big League. I don't remember him in that. But then of course I think the thing that I most associated him with actually is that within just a few months of this episode airing, he starred in his own must-see TV NBC show called The Single Guy, which I definitely remember. I don't know, but I can't swear to you that I ever saw a single episode of The Single Guy, but, I do remember that it existed. Ernest Borgnine. was in the cast of The Single Guy.
Who was he in Duff Becomes Her? How about
Joey Slotnick? Ming-Na Wen? Jessica Hecht? Susan? Also.
Oh.
The Single Guy.
Okay.
I wonder why they showed it.
Do you know who he was in Death Becomes Her?
I said Jay Norman is the character's name. Okay. But I don't know who that is.
Okay. Okay. Let's move on, right?
Okay. I thought you wanted me to keep reading Jonathan Silverman's one episode of Miss Match. If you remember Miss Match.
Nope.
One episode of Numbers.
Oh, he was in Girls Just Want to Have Fun.
I never saw that.
I used to like that movie.
Okay. Well, in any case, he's a cute doctor, and Rachel cannot handle it. Yeah. She goes all the way home and changes and comes back.
Yeah.
But Jonathan Silverman is not the only named guest star in this episode.
No.
Baby Leah Remini is in this episode.
Yeah.
She's so young looking.
Well, not as young as when she was in Saved by the Bell.
Right. But I guess she was supposed to be a teenager there.
Yeah. Yeah, she's probably like early 20s here.
Yeah.
Very, very pregnant.
Yes, she was. She's very pregnant. She's there without anyone else. No one else is at the hospital with her. So Joey ends up sort of standing by her side, and they sort of like fight. But it's also kind of sweet at the same time. He has.
They start arguing about basketball and then build a connection. And
but then she has contractions and he says, come on. he like takes her through the door. He's like, come on this way. All the other pregnant women seem to be going this way.
Yeah, I like that. So yeah, he's like her birth partner, basically.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very sweet.
It is very sweet.
Monica has baby fever.
Yeah. And did you notice, well, I don't know, there's a little bit of foreshadowing in there.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm guessing you're right, but we'll definitely get to that maybe with... Maybe with running jokes and motifs, would that fall under under that?
Mm-hmm.
That's where I tend to put How I Met Your Mother foreshadowing.
Okay.
So even this, Joey's being a sweetheart, but he's also still like so clueless about childbirth that it's like hard for me to believe almost. Like, what was the thing he didn't know? He'd never heard of like water breaking.
Yeah, he was like, oh, what's going on there? And he like the concept was totally new to him.
Yeah. Yeah, that's weird, because, like,
if you've seen any movie or TV show, like, water breaks, that
women throwing up means they're pregnant.
Right.
And women standing in a shallow pool of water means they're going into labor.
That's or when a woman, like, turns down a drink, that means she's pregnant.
So then, anyway, but back to Carol's baby. Who might be named Jordy, they're saying.
Yeah.
Which, I guess, what would Jordy be?
Jordan?
Like Jordan? Okay. So a J-O-R-D-Y.
Why?
Not, because I was also picturing, like, G-E-O-R-D-I-E.
Oh, yeah. Like okay.
Jordy?
Yeah.
But,
it could go either way.
Yeah, but, so they're arguing so much that they get, that, or so Ross and Susan are arguing so much that they get kicked out of the room by the nurse.
Yeah.
By the no-nonsense nurse. I always like a no-nonsense nurse.
Yeah.
I come from a family of them.
This nurse is getting around because she's delivering all the babies.
Oh, right. She's also...
She
like,
also delivered
Leah
Remini's baby.
There's just one obstetrics nurse on the entire floor. Yeah.
The very small hospital. It's a boutique hospital.
Yeah, probably. So yeah, they get kicked out, they're arguing, they go hide like in a janitor's closet to have their argument out of sight, and then Phoebe comes in with her guitar. I completely like didn't mention that Phoebe brought a guitar, like she's gonna be here a while, or we might be here a while, it's gonna get musical. And she sings a funny song about how the babies you're about to have are gonna grow up to hate you.
Yeah, and they're always crying.
But then the second verse it's like, then you'll be crying because your baby like resents you now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really liked that that bit. But so she and her guitar come in to try and calm things down. She actually has a great like she really like lets Ross and Susan have it. And she's like, don't make me do this anymore because I don't like my voice like this.
Yeah. Yeah, but she's definitely commanding authority.
Yeah. But then she kind of undercuts her entire argument by accidentally locking them in the closet, and the three of them are stuck in the closet for the rest of the episode, and I would say
most of the labor.
For most of the labor, I would say good restraint on Friends for not finding like an in the closet joke with Carol. You know,
I thought that they like tiptoed it because
it came very close.
Because Phoebe said something about like, no, this is ironic. And I was like, what is the irony here?
Yeah, I guess you're
and
right.
I think
like,
the
you
irony,
hear something ironic.
Yeah.
So the ironic is that like,
so I feel like the writers like wanted to like, I don't know. Maybe they just didn't.
You're right, because what was she saying was ironic?
There was nothing ironic besides like,
is it ironic like that Susan,
the
one
the
who was already
yeah.
out,
yeah.
is now the one in the closet?
Yeah.
Maybe that's, but that seems like an A to C type of.
It is, but I feel like, yeah.
Okay. All right. But anyway, they're locked in this enormous janitor's closet.
Yeah.
It's so big.
Yeah.
But luckily it's big because we get another great David Schwimmer physical comedy moment.
Oh yeah.
Where he's like going to try and bust down the door and he backs up to get a running start and steps right in the mop bucket and like falls over.
Yeah.
That's a great like silent comedy type of moment.
Yeah,
I really enjoyed that.
I feel like these rooms are always locked in hospitals. Like this is,
you couldn't just walk in.
Yeah. It's a hospital.
Yeah.
That's dangerous.
Yeah.
Cleaning supply. Like no.
Yeah. The janitor
has
Ben,
a key.
Or what was the name of the janitor who comes later? You see his name.
Yeah.
And I should have written it down. I want
Harry?
To say it was like Mark. Maybe it's Harry. Yeah. He looks more like a Harry than a Mark. But that's later. We're in the closet and like Susan and Ross are still going at it about like, who's going to get to like, who's going to be like, what's this baby going to think of me? Like I'm the father, but I'm not going to be around cause I don't live with him.
Right.
And she's like, but you're the father. I'm not, I don't have like a prescribed,
but he's like you get to go home. You get to like see him every day and I have to visit.
Phoebe has first, it starts off with another, this maybe goes into motifs, the running jokes, Phoebe's sad childhood.
Yeah.
About like,
she had no one
dying very early.
Yeah.
But it very quickly turns into like, and this is the first of two times in this episode that I got emotional when Phoebe's like, you know, I didn't have anyone and here you've got, this baby has three people arguing over who gets to love it the most. I got very emotional in that moment.
She made a very, very good point about how this baby is the luckiest person because the baby has three whole parents that love it so much already.
Yeah.
So yeah, I get like a little misty just thinking about it. And I often, I often go to that, like in thinking about, I'm a social worker, so I work with families a lot. And like, sometimes I'll use that kind of thing to, and this is like getting a little too deep, but like, there is something to be said when, you know, when a kid doesn't understand why, like the parents and the step parents are all fighting. And I, you know, when I talk to the kids, I'm like, look, all of these parents, like all these people love you so much that it's hard to understand, but it's because they love you so much and they want you to know how much they love them, you know? And sometimes sadly that's not always the case, but, I try to like pose it in that light for children who are,
do you think you
stuck
got that from friend? Like you subconsciously,
I think
like,
maybe I did. Yeah. I think maybe I did. Yeah.
So then, okay. So finally they get after some more shenanigans, which we'll get to later in the funniest moments. They get out of the closet. Everything's different. Leah Remini has her baby. The storyline with Rachel trying to hit on Dr. Jonathan Silverman resolves in a way I thought was a very funny way, which is basically him like saying, I'm a gynecologist. I'm sick of vaginas.
Yeah. Yeah. Because he's like, don't you ever like get home at the end of the day and say, well, what do you do for work? And she said, I work at a coffee shop. And the joke is like, she doesn't get sick of coffee at the end of the day, but he's sick of vaginas.
Sick of vaginas. Yeah.
And she just kind of like is sad and resigned, takes off her earrings.
Yeah. Speaking of sad and resigned, I mentioned Leah Remini had her baby. Leah Remini's boyfriend finally shows up and Joey was going to like bring some balloons for the baby, but he sees the couple together. So he leaves and there's a moment of him like grabbing the hand of the clown. There's a balloon shaped like a clown.
Yeah.
And he like walks away like he's walking away with the clown.
That it's very sweet.
Very funny too.
Yeah.
The whole storyline was very sweet. Finally, but everyone reconvenes in
the hospital room.
Carol has the baby, which they decide to name Ben after the name on the janitorial uniform that was in the closet, which is like, they don't even tell Carol that's what it is. I wonder if that story will ever come up. Probably not.
Yeah. But did it bother you? Because I know that you don't like when babies are not named the full name. Like, does it bother you that it's not Benjamin?
I'm not being judgmental. I don't like when parents do this. My thing is,
it bothers you.
I feel sorry for the kid in the lack of options. Do you know what I mean? That's why I feel like,
but you owe it never
to your kid to name your kid the full name and then call them Ben or Benji. And then if they get older and they're like, I don't want to be Ben or Benji, I want to be Benjamin, they have that option.
That's the thing. They always have the option. No one looks at a birth certificate. No one even knows where their birth certificate is. Like, it doesn't matter. You can say, my name is Benjamin. You can say, my name is Wally. Like, no one cares or knows.
But you'd know.
But, like, that's just, like, a formality. Like, it's not... If Ben grew up and said, my name is Benjamin, that's fine. Is it just the name on the birth certificate?
But also, it's also going to be on the driver's license. It's going to be on any official document is going to say the name. And what if they don't want that name? What if they want the full name?
You can put it, like, you can change your name pretty easily. It's not a big process. If you felt that strongly...
But it's also not a big deal... it's so easy to change the name, but it's also very easy for the parent to say, like, I want my kid to be named Ben. Let's put Benjamin on the
birth certificate.
I almost said gift certificate. I had to stop on the birth certificate.
Well, a baby is a gift. A child is a gift. Okay.
So anyway, that's my little, like, dumb thing that I'm on that is just like, nah, I guess my dad called me Dave, but
you always had
my name is David. And I have generally gone by David. There was a time in my life when I would insist on being called David. I like to think that I'm over that now. I introduce myself as David, but if someone else calls me Dave or Davey, which you do, and now your friends do, and your sister does,
and all of your Twitter followers do, because that's your chosen name.
Yeah, on Twitter it is. Yeah, I'm fine with that now. But anyway, the baby's born, and I thought the Phoebe thing was enough to get me choked up, but like. You know, I talk a lot of shit about Ross on this show, and I always want to make it clear, I think David Schwimmer is a good actor.
Yeah.
And I think there's a lot on his face.
Yeah.
In this scene that was...
Yeah.
Very touching, and just the way that, like, the baby's born with, like, a full head of hair, which is common on TV shows.
Yeah.
But, like, when Monica wants to hold the baby and Ross is just, like, playing with the hair, it's all very sweet and, like... I believe it, and it was all very touching, and I got emotional multiple times.
I got
emotional multiple times in this episode.
It was cute. I liked when Monica was holding Ben, and she's like, I'm your Aunt Monica. I'm always going to have gum.
Yeah.
Like, she's already determined, like, that's who she wants to be
that's
in his
the aunt
life.
She wants to be. Yeah.
Which, yeah. Like, I can relate. Like, I always wanted to be, like, cool aunt that, you know, my nephew can, like, talk to about anything and be open and honest with, you know, cool, judgment-free aunt. That's what I've always wanted to be.
Yeah, I think what I've realized now that I am an uncle multiple times over, but especially on your side, I'm an uncle to a teenager.
Yeah.
I don't think there is any such thing as being a cool aunt or uncle. There's being cool for an aunt or uncle.
Right. Like, or I think cooler than parents.
Yes, I think that's... I do think that's what we are to our teenage nephew.
We're cooler than parents.
Cool for our age,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah. And even then, jury's out.
The episode ends. And then there's a tag at the end that I feel like I liked in concept, but like went on forever and wasn't that funny and was weirdly uncomfortable, where it's like from the baby's point of view and Ross is like talking and then all the other friends, so you're looking up and all the other, like, the gang are leaning over, and it made me feel like weirdly, like, stop looking at me. Like, it made me feel weirdly vulnerable and uncomfortable, and it wasn't especially funny, although there were a lot of funny faces being made.
I thought it was cute.
It went on a little long.
It did. Yeah, because it stopped because Rachel said, you guys want to go get coffee? And then they leave and then come back into the frame.
Yeah.
I thought it was cute.
Do you have anything else before we move on to funniest moments? Because I have so many funniest moments.
No, I guess not.
Because this episode, in addition to making me cry twice, made me laugh as hard as any episode this season. I'm especially sad there's no How I Met Your Mother this week, because we don't get to play favorites, and I don't get to talk about how great... I mean, I am talking about it, but, like, this episode is great.
Yeah.
This is the best episode of Friends we have watched so far.
Oh, wow. Okay, good. I'm glad you like it.
It's very, very funny. So I have so many, but okay. I'll start with... We didn't even talk about Phoebe's attempt to get out of the closet by crawling up into the vent.
Oh, yes.
And
yes,
they
leave
her there.
Yes.
And then after the baby's born, you hear Phoebe's voice from the vent. You guys, he's beautiful. And you realize, oh, Phoebe's still up there. That was the biggest laugh of me for the episode.
And it was a surprise because we forget what Phoebe's up to. Yeah. Yeah, that was the funniest moment.
You name one. I have so many, so we'll go back and forth if you have more.
So in the little scene with Leah Remini, like the father of the baby shows up because the Leah Remini's mom, like, told him that she's having the baby. And so when Joey, like, peeks into the room and sees them having this, like, sweet moment with the baby, and the dude said, is this her? And she said, no, it's a loner.
Yeah, that's on my list,
and that
too.
Was very funny.
Yeah. I'll work backwards. When they leave Phoebe in the vent, like, hanging half out of the vent, the real, and she's wearing the, like, fake janitor's outfit, the real janitor calls after them, you forgot your legs.
Yeah.
That's funny.
That was funny. I have another one. Well, you kind of took one of them, like, when Leah Remini is, like, going into labor, Joey, like, ushers her into the room, and he's like, I don't know where we're going, but all the other pregnant women seem to be walking this way. That was funny. But my real one, it was the Chandler joke, and I don't think you'll think it's funny, but I thought the delivery of it was funny when, Monica's upset that she doesn't have a baby. She has baby fever, and he kind of starts like a pact with her and says, like, if you're not married by the time you're 40, and then she takes offense to that and is like, why am I not married? What's wrong with me? Why am I not married? And Chandler says in a very funny way, dear God, the parachute is a knapsack.
And then tumbles over the back.
And then tumbles
chair.
Over the.
No, that was funny.
The parachute is a knapsack is a funny thing to say.
Yeah. I liked, do you have any more? If that was your last.
Oh, just with the baby, the baby shaped balloon and Joey walking down the hallway. Yeah. That was just like a visual gag.
Yeah. Oh, it was a baby. I thought it was a clown, but it was a baby.
I think it was a baby.
Yeah. That makes more sense. Okay. I'll run off just a few more. You covered, this is a loner. Phoebe, when she puts on the janitor's outfit that says Ben, and she's like, I'm Ben. That was funny.
Yeah, that was funny.
When Susan says, you know, you've got Father's Day, Carol's got Mother's Day, there's no Lesbian Lover Day, and Ross says, every day is Lesbian Lover Day.
Yeah.
Which is funny, but also I want to say, like, she's a mother. She's also Mother's Day.
Yes.
I want to tell Susan, like, you also get to celebrate Mother's Day.
Yes.
Just because you didn't, like, carry the baby doesn't mean that you're not its mother.
Exactly.
You're still the mother. But anyway, I still thought every day is Lesbian Lover Day. Because I'm going to get up my high horse, or my soapbox again.
Okay.
Because that structure, where that comes from, is when kids always say on Father's Day and Mother's Day, when's Kids Day?
Yeah.
And parents say, every day is Kids Day.
Yeah.
I'm still mad about that because day is Kids Day. Being a kid means not getting to do what you want and having to do what other people tell you to do. Like, there is no such thing as Kids Day. Kids Day is when you turn 18.
when you live
on your own, when you get to do whatever you want. That's when you're a kid.
But you're an atypical specimen because, like, for a lot of parents, like, life revolves around their kids, and it very much seems like everything I do is for these kids. Every day is Kids Day. Like, I take you to McDonald's, I take you to Disneyland. Like, there's always something, like, take you to soccer, take you to, you know, so it does feel like, for parents, like, every day is kids' day. My whole life is devoted to you.
No, I get why it feels like that for parents, but to kids, it feels like, these are the people who tell me no, these are the people who tell me...
Right, but some kids are like, yes, Happy Meal. Like, I think some kids appreciate being a kid more than you do.
Yeah, okay. Anyway, I want to make clear, I had a good childhood. I think I've just been... Look, I am now 39 years old, but I think I've been 27 years old since I was about 5, and I remain about 27 years old. I think I'm like, I'm a permanent 27-year-old in my brain, and that started when
I was a
little
kid. What happened when you were 27 that just...
But I'm saying it was even before, like, I think I always knew, like, this is... That's the age I'm going to be most comfortable at, and that's...
No, but I think we can go deeper and say, like, what happened in your 27th year?
Well, let's see. 27 would have been... So I would have turned 28 in 2010. So 27 would have been late 2009 and most of 2010. So you and I were already together. I moved in here when I was 27, right?
Yeah.
We still live in this place, and I'm 39.
Yeah.
It was a good year. I think I was like,
this is where I want to be.
By that point, I had a job I liked. I love my job now, but I had a job then, and I was with you, but still like young enough that I could like, be out till 2 a.m. and go to work the next day, which I cannot do anymore.
We've talked about this before.
Yeah. I think I'm just, I'm a 27-year-old. But I want to make clear, I had a good childhood. I was not, like, eager to, like, get out of some terrible situation. I had a good childhood. I've always been an old soul, I guess, is the saying. All right, some more funniest moments. I liked Joey's idea of where he'll be when his kid is born, in the waiting room handing out cigars.
Yeah.
I don't know if we needed the, like, Chandler, like,
clarifying.
Joey's made arrangements to have his baby in a movie from the 50s, whatever. Like, that's funny, but I also, like, it was maybe funnier just on its own.
Yeah.
But I think that, like, hanging a lantern on, like, commenting on the thing has become such a big part of what comedy is now, and I feel like that has its root in the everything's ironic 90s.
Right.
And I wish we could get away. I mean, I feel like certain parts of the comedy world are, but I wish in the mainstream we could get away from everything having to be self-aware.
Yeah.
And letting stuff just be funny and sometimes silly or whatever. So as much as I thought Chandler's retort was funny, if I had been there in person and it were real, I would have laughed at it.
Yeah.
As a viewer, I thought it was funnier without.
Yeah.
I'm making the same point over and over again.
Yeah.
Last funniest moment, when Chandler and Monica are talking, and Monica says, let's go get some coffee. And Chandler says, oh, okay, because we never do that.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to Friends, but make it fashion. This was not, for me, a big fashion episode. I didn't like a lot of these clothes.
It really wasn't, yeah.
The thing that really stuck out to me was... Leah Remini's boyfriend's enormous knit sweater.
Oh, I didn't notice
It was like, it looks ridiculous the way that a lot of the oversized clothes that these characters, these men especially, wear in the 90s.
Yeah.
Looks ridiculous. But also a part of me was like, because like you mentioned, it's like, it's getting dark earlier, it's getting a little chilly. I was like, oh, it looks like a comfy sweater.
Yeah, like, ooh, cable knit.
Yeah.
I guess I noticed like when Ross... like gets to the hospital, he's wearing like a tie, and by the end of the episode he's like, he takes it off. I don't know where he puts it.
Yeah, he takes it off in the closet, right?
I feel that Susan is a very attractive person. I liked her outfit and her hair. Nothing really remarkable.
What did you think of... I kept wanting to write it down, but I didn't love it and I didn't know how to describe it. How would you describe Monica's dress that she's wearing? Because it's collared.
Yeah.
It looked
so formal. It was very, like, businessy.
Because the material was, like, a stiffer material.
Yeah, it was, like, kind of, like, sooty.
But it also wasn't... It was also kind of short.
Yeah.
at the same time. Yeah. I don't know how you'd describe that dress. It looked like, from like a certain point up, it looks like a short sleeve dress shirt.
Right.
But then it's just a dress beneath.
Just like a short, yeah. Also, like, Rachel goes home to, like, change into, like, a slinky little dress, and I'm always, like, if I'm in a hospital, it's, like, cold. Like, you want a sweater. It's uncomfortable. Yeah. It's cold. Like, yeah. You don't need to be, like, I don't know, wearing, like, a little, like, silky...
Anything for a hot doc.
Yeah.
I liked us learning that... Did we learn for the first time Rachel's dad was a doctor?
Yeah.
Because Chandler, like, makes what he thinks is, like, a broad joke. Like, what, was your dad a doctor?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
And then, do you have any running jokes or motifs to point out? I know you have something, some, we should add foreshadowing to this category.
Yeah. I actually have a few things here. We've mentioned before the show can never like not have a fat phobic joke.
Okay.
And this was like on the way to the hospital, Carol and Susan stop for a chunky, and then Chandler makes a joke like, oh no, Ross says, you can't stop for chunkies. And then Chandler makes a joke. Yeah, that's what my bumper sticker says. But I think it's like a don't stop for like chunky.
Like a no fat chicks.
Like a no, yes. Ugh. And I think that's what the joke was supposed to be. Also, we talk about just the entitlement of this crew and how they make every like environment they're in their living room. So they take up all the chairs in the waiting room, all the couches. Phoebe brings a guitar. Everything revolves around them. Meanwhile, there are other patients, like possibly like grieving family members, and they have no regard for anyone else.
Hopefully, oh God, hopefully not grieving family members. This is the obstetrics. This is like the...
Well, you never know. It's a hospital, so you never know.
Wouldn't the ICU have its own waiting room?
We don't know what happens. Sometimes in obstetrics, sad things happen in hospitals.
Childbirth, or babies are stillborn. It's so sad.
Yes, and they're,
Natalie,
you know.
You really brought this episode down.
I'm sorry, I'm a realist, and this is just the things that matter. But yeah, making every room in their living room. And when Phoebe was singing the song about like babies being annoying and hating their parents, like she was getting dirty looks from, you know, just like people in the waiting room.
Yeah. Yeah. And then Ross put a coin in her coffee cup so she'd stop.
Yeah. Yeah. But I did think it was cute that like Phoebe's like, oh, things might get musical. Like this is what I do. She's trying to bring some levity to the situation, bring some music in. I like that. We talked a little bit about foreshadowing. I don't know what you know about like the relationships that we'll see through the series.
No, I know that at one point Monica and Chandler are engaged.
Okay.
And the reason I know that is because I've seen like weird reruns here and there.
Mm-hmm.
I should say the odd rerun. They're not weird. They're episodes of Friends. They're normal reruns.
Right.
But the odd rerun here and there. And for some reason, do you ever have this like with certain shows that like rerun all the time? Like you never really watch them, but somehow you end up on the same episode multiple times?
Yes.
So
yes.
Multiple times I've seen, there's an episode where I don't even know if they are engaged yet, but Monica like puts her name in to reserve like a wedding venue just because she like is like fantasizing or whatever, and Chandler like hears the voicemail and like freaks out like what she's trying. So I've seen that episode like at least twice, weirdly. So I know that they're together if not engaged.
Okay.
That's all I know. Any other things before we
No, I have no props to the props this episode.
Yeah. What about those balloons? That would be prop department, right? The Joey balloons?
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah. Well, we don't have any How I Met Your Mother to talk about, so we don't have any similarities and differences to talk about. We can't talk about playing favorites.
We can, but it's going to be obvious that
it's Friends.
Not Mystery Diner's Strange Brew is the episode title.
Well, but we'll get to that later. I want to do our regular segments.
Oh.
Because I just wanted the Mystery Diner discussion to be like a little bonus at the end.
I see. Okay.
So I'm going to, if that's okay with you, I'm going to go move on to my favorite segment to introduce.
Okay.
How are we doing?
Okay.
And this is where we look at the things that were happening in the world on the day that these episodes aired, or in this case, this episode. So Friends Season 1, Episode 23, the one with the birth, aired on Thursday, May 11th, 1995, which is a couple of things in the nerd sector happened. Sega of America began shipping the Saturn video game system in the U.S. This is the first day that the Saturn, Sega Saturn.
I've never even heard of that.
I've definitely heard of it, but I didn't.
I never had Sega. I was always a Nintendo gal.
We were Nintendo, and then we had a Sega Genesis. I remember playing like the Aladdin game.
I had friends who had it, and I played what's the one with the rings? The
Sonic the Hedgehog?
Yeah, I loved Sonic the Hedgehog, and that was on Sega.
I remember playing Sonic on my friend's. What was the Sega version of the Game Boy? There's people like.
Yeah.
At this point in our culture, you and I, like, not knowing about video games, like, we're the weird ones.
Yeah.
Like, video games are huge. Everyone plays video games, and we're, like, stuck in this old, old way of thinking of, like, video games. So, yeah, whatever the Sega version of the Game Boy was,
yeah.
I remember playing Sonic on my friends, but I was never a video game
Oh, I very guy. Much was, but Nintendo. Okay. And then I had a friend who had Nintendo 64, and that was real fun.
And then the other thing that happened on Thursday, May 11th, 1995, the first ever Electronic Entertainment Expo, which is now generally referred to as E3, a huge electronic entertainment convention that happens here in Los Angeles every year. This was the beginning of the first E3 of all time. Never been to E3. I definitely have friends who have gone, and I know it's a big deal. It's one of the big nerd events. not using nerd as a pejorative, to be clear. And then finally we'll talk. I should have taken your collar off, though.
It's all right.
We got enough interruptions from all the sirens.
Yeah.
All right. Top five songs in the U.S.
All right.
On this day. At number one, should I count these down?
Yeah.
So far I've been going 1 to 5, but you know why I think it's fun to go 1 to 5 is because the new additions to the list are always at the bottom.
Yeah, okay.
So I'll start with number one.
Okay.
This is how we do it. I'm going to get more obnoxious every time. Hopefully it'll leave the list soon. Then Idina Howard's Freak Like Me, TLC's Red Light Special, Dion Ferris's I Know, and then coming in at number five, another truly terrible song.
Oh.
Have You Ever Really Loved a Woman by Bryan Adams?
Oh, God.
Just a sappy.
Tell me, have you ever really, really ever loved a woman?
Such a bad song.
You need somebody. Yeah, it's gross that I know so many lyrics.
It's like, what's the... that song makes Everything I Do It For You seem good. Which, Everything I Do It For You is not good.
Yeah.
I think...
What was the song for Three Musketeers?
Is that also a Bryan Adams song?
Yeah.
Well, now we're going to have to look that up, so you're going to have to vamp while I do this.
I could be wrong, but I feel like it was... Oh, yeah. Oh, shit, it's on the tip of my tongue.
Okay.
Like All for One?
Oh, All for Love is what it's called.
It's called All for Love, and it's Bryan Adams, right?
It is.
All for one and all for love.
Hold on.
That was on the Three Musketeers soundtrack.
Hang on. That's my impression of Harry Potter for those at home. Now they know that.
Yeah.
It's the only thing I can do. Harry Potter going, hang on. Okay.
No, you also do Going Somewhere.
That's my Snape impression. Yeah. Going Somewhere. Okay, so it's Bryan Adams. Remember, the movie is The Three Musketeers. This is not a Bryan Adams song, although he wrote it. It's a Bryan Adams, Rod Stewart, and Sting song.
Yes.
Wait, how does it go?
Because I'll do it all for one and all for love.
Oh, that's awful.
Yeah.
Okay, so Bryan Adams has one song that I really like. Do you know what it is?
No.
Maybe you're all that I want.
Oh,
and when you're lying here in my arms.
Yeah.
Finding it hard to believe we're in heaven. I'm sure the listeners love us mumble singing all the way through Bryan Adams songs. I like that song. It's a very pretty song.
Yeah.
I don't like it. I don't think I like any other Bryan Adams songs.
There was that River song. Why do we know so much Bryan Adams?
Because we grew up in the age of Bryan Adams.
I guess.
Have you ever seen any of his photography?
No.
Oh, well, he has a book of photography, that if I remember, Many Rivers to Cross, is that what you're trying to think of?
Hmm.
I don't know what that is. If I remember correctly, so I used to work at the Arclight.
He's Canadian. Do you know that?
I did know that. Yes. I used to work at the Arclight, which is a movie theater that doesn't exist anymore. And we carried a book of Brian Adams photography in the gift shop. I liked working in the gift shop at the Arclight because it was a place that I could work a full shift with while talking to as few people as possible.
Yeah.
Which is generally was generally my what I was looking for in my sort of like not real job employment. Anytime I was like working retail or like mm-hmm. movie theater, like just make me not talk to people.
Yeah.
And what I remember is the first page, page one, the first photo in Brian Adams' book is a topless photo of Pink.
Oh, wow.
Which I'm showing to Natalie right now.
Wow.
So the, that's what I think of when I think of Brian Adams as a photographer, is that he took that topless photo of Pink.
Yeah.
All right. So that's how we were doing. Now let's move on to the next segment, which is Challenge Accepted, mm-hmm. in which we predict what's going to happen on next week's episode.
Okay.
Or rather, I predict, because you have nothing to predict, because there's no Friends again next week.
Oh, so we have to do this again with Mystery Diners.
Yeah, we get to do this
again. We get to do this again.
But first we have to look at how we did last week.
Mm-hmm.
Or how I did last week.
Mm-hmm.
Now, because the episode was called The One with the Birth, and the episode ends with Ross finding out Carol's going into labor, I didn't want to make it too easy on myself. So I made an extra prediction. Do you remember this?
I don't remember what it was, though.
Oh, because I was fucking spot on. I'm so proud of myself.
Oh,
so I said, Ross's kid is born, and I said, Ross and old Suze don't exactly see eye to eye on the whole name biz.
Yeah, you were spot on.
So that puts me, because we've had weeks where neither of us has gotten it right.
Yes.
Right now, you're at 8, and I'm at 5. That puts me at 6. The other thing I want to mention is that sorry, listen, I know at the end of every episode, I'm like, email us at theonewhereimatyourmother@gmail.com. It turns out I had forgotten to forward that email address to my email address, so I wasn't getting your emails. So I got them, so now we do have a definitive answer on the Cameron Manheim thing, which is that she's not a big enough guest star to count as a guest star, which means I was wrong because I said she was a big enough guest star, but it also means I won that week. So now I have 7. So I thought I was mathematically out of this because I wasn't thinking about the fact that there are 2 episodes. But if I get next week's prediction right,
we're going to be neck and neck.
Well, we would tie for the season because we're doing this every season.
Yeah.
So the deal is that whoever wins or whoever loses has to donate $500 to a charity of the winner's choice.
Yes.
If we tie, I think we both pick a charity and each donate $250. Is that sound?
Yeah, that works.
When do
we talk about our charities? After next week?
I think we should both, since we can both potentially have one. Like, I'm definitely donating some money.
Yeah.
I just don't know if it's going to be $500 or $250.
Yeah.
So next week, we should, before our next episode, we should find some charities, but don't tell each other.
Okay.
What? You don't like that?
Because I already have one.
Yeah, okay, you know it now. That's fine.
Okay.
But we're not going
to... But it's not going to be a surprise.
It is to me. I don't know what you're thinking.
Okay.
Okay. Okay, so... Season 1, episode 24 of Friends is called The One Where Rachel Finds Out. And I think... I'm going to have to just... I think we're going to tie next week, Natalie. We're each going to owe $250. Because I'm going to say...
You know this.
Rachel finds out that Ross loves her.
But do you know the way in which she finds out?
I didn't until you said that.
Oh, sorry.
And now I think you've told me about it before we did this podcast. I think you told me about this scene before.
Yeah.
Which I didn't, I hadn't put two and two together that yeah. was it. But now that I remember you've this told me is, about this scene before.
This is one to watch.
Okay. I predict, this is not my official prediction. My official prediction is the one that's going to get us to a tie, which is very exciting for me.
Yeah. yeah.
I also predict personally that I am not going to like this episode as much as I liked the one with the birth.
Okay.
Because I loved the one with the birth.
Okay.
Other than, I would say we spent so little time. This is the first time we spent so little time talking about problematic things. I mean, we did talk about like a little bit of like a fat joke.
Just a tiny
bit. I talked
bit,
about
yeah.
the like Susan not thinking that she qualifies for Mother's Day.
Yeah.
That's a bummer. But that's this was my favorite episode so far.
Yeah.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Okay, our final segment, which we're calling Natalie and David Talk About Their Favorite Show of All Time, Mystery Diners.
And you should, too.
We picked an episode somewhat at random. We picked three episodes at random and then picked one that we remembered.
Yeah. But this is a way to always make a decision between the two of us. In our relationship, when we're indecisive, Greg's home.
Oh, did he get some fast food or...
He has a bag of something. I can't.
I wish I'd looked.
Okay.
I'm better at spotting
Carl's Jr.
logos.
It looked like Carl's Jr.
Okay.
If ever there's...
Chick-fil-A.
Oh, I hope not. If ever
Is that
there's...
still bad? Chick-fil-A
it's still
bad?
It's still bad.
Oh, okay.
If ever there's indecision, my way to deal with it is pick three and then I'll pick from that one. As far as like movies, where to eat, what to
right,
watch,
right.
It's always pick three. So
I picked three.
David picked
at
three
random.
Mystery Diners and I chose one and I chose Strange Brew.
Season 4, episode 2.
Yes. And so if you don't know the concept of the show,
You're missing out.
So it's a company and they hire mystery diners to figure out what's going on. Like, say there's a drop in profits or food's like missing or the cash till is off or whatever. Like, he's ferreting out reasons to fire people.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, that's exactly it.
So Charles Stiles and his crew are the mystery diners. They set up cameras all over and then they put plants in. They have like a sting operation where they... Yeah. Like have a fake employee and then a fake customer usually, and they ferret out what's going wrong with the restaurant.
Yeah.
So this episode, it's Newport Beach Brewing Company.
From right here in SoCal.
Yeah.
Newport Beach, just 40 minutes to 2 hours from us, depending on the time of day.
Yeah. Or the day of the week.
Yeah.
So Charles Stiles is probably the least charismatic person that's ever been on TV. He's terrible.
I know. I used to say that about another Food Network personality, Ann Burrell, but she like grew on me. Now I kind of love Ann Burrell.
Well, now it's Robert Irvine that's like also lacks any charisma.
To us. But I think, not to get political here, we get political all the time. I think the kind of people who find Donald Trump charismatic are the kind of people who find Robert Irvine charismatic. People who find that like brusque, like intimidating, like.
So, I mean, that's what Gordon Ramsay is, but he does it in a way that's also like giving, and there is charisma.
Yeah. Yeah.
There is humor.
Gordon Ramsay is like a smarter, more compassionate Donald Trump.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm sure Gordon Ramsay's politics are not something we'd be nuts about, right?
I don't know. When he talks to people, like sometimes it's kind of like there's an empathy that Donald Trump.
Right, but I'm just saying his policy. Like, there are conservatives who could be nice to people. Yeah. So I'm saying he might have politics you and I wouldn't agree with, Gordon Ramsay.
Yeah, he's probably pro Brexit.
yeah. We are so far. This is supposed to be like a brief segment. There's no doubt
in my mind, though, that Charles Stiles is a conservative Republican.
Oh, but yeah, the show Mystery Diners is very conservative.
Yes, we've talked about this before.
And it's so like just reflexively suspicious of workers.
Yes,
like it's such a weird. Like,
but it's also like very, very like heteronormative.
Oh,
like
God.
To a gross degree,
really gross.
And this, the business owner of Newport Beach Brewing Company, is also very much that person. I mean, it's kind of obvious. I mean, like Newport Beach is very, Orange County. Like we already know going into it, but he and Charles were very much like on the same page in every way.
Oh, this owner cracked me up. I have so many. This is supposed to be a brief segment, but I have so many things to talk about.
So what's going on is there's been a decline in sales. This is like the whole conceit of the episode is like there's a decline in sales. So they want to figure out what's going on. It turns out.
And also he's reading reviews online of people talking about buying beers at his brew co that they don't brew or serve.
Right. Such as cucumber beer or cinnamon beer.
That's right.
But the show is so bad where they don't even get like an actual consultant to say, you keep calling it lager or ale. They're very different things.
Yes,
so
there's strawberry lager and strawberry ale.
Yes.
I'm so glad you noticed
someone,
that too.
Like an editor didn't say like, hey, pick a side. Like it's probably going to be ale. So don't keep calling it lager and then calling it ale on the next episode.
Yeah.
So what's going on is one of the bartenders is doing a homebrew strawberry lager or ale and selling it like for cash, like from the, basically like the trunk of his car.
Yeah. Wait, I'm sorry. The trunk of his car.
The trunk of his car.
That's how Charles Stiles.
Let's get him down here.
Yeah. Get him out here. Yeah. He's, I wrote down what he said. It looks like he's pulling a cooler out of his trunk.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, but also Charles, like whenever he, and it's usually like, let's be honest, like a sexy, like buxom blonde.
His assistant
yeah, who works for him.
It's usually Amber.
There's others too, but I mean, basically,
but Amber's
he's
the
like,
best because we once saw her in person.
Oh my gosh. When I tell you that
Tavern.
We were starstruck, and we live in Los Angeles, so we see celebrities, but you and I both, when we were at the Oaks Tavern,
I just saw Saul Rubinek yesterday,
but who cares? Because we saw Amber from Mystery Diners at the Oaks Tavern.
Yeah.
And we both clocked it. Like we both saw her and we looked at each other and we're like, how do we know her? And then when it occurred to us that she was Amber, like we nearly died that we didn't say hi to her.
Yeah. Why didn't we say you're Amber from Mystery Diners? We were at the Oaks Tavern. It was on St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah.
Which is not, you and I aren't normally like go to the bar on St.
No,
Patrick's
it's a
Day
rookie
people,
move.
But
yeah.
Like, that was a weird St. Patrick's Day because we saw Amber at the Oaks Tavern.
And she was like a drinker, like giving out like tequila shots or Jameson
that's
shots.
Right. She was working for Jameson.
Yes.
That's right.
So the show didn't pay very, very much.
But then do you remember what happened after night?
We went to a few bars.
We went to the Chimney Sweep, which is a quick walk.
Yeah.
From the Oaks Tavern. And I, when I was closing out, had another celebrity sighting. This one I recognized, Kenneth Choi, you know that?
Oh yeah.
From Last Man on Earth and he's in Wolf of Wall Street.
Yeah.
And I actually like talked to him while I was like waiting for, like, it was like closing out and I was like, oh, I just saw the movie Gringo that you're in. And he was like, oh yeah, I worked with Alan Ruck or whatever. And I was like, oh, great to meet you, and left. And then we were like on our way home and I realized I had closed out, but then left my credit card just sitting on the bar because I was so starstruck by Kenneth Choi.
And you were still reeling from Amber.
And there's like a barcade down Ventura from where the Chimney Sweep is, and we find out that in the like 20 minutes until maybe half hour before I realized I left my card, someone took my card, went to the barcade, and bought like $85 worth of drinks.
Yeah, which is like. That's like a gutsy kind of cool move.
Oh,
you know he's probably like And I am making a general
assumption.
Yeah,
that it was a he.
Yeah, that he like bought a round for everyone.
Yeah, good. Yeah, good for him, I guess.
That's fun.
Okay, so we got to get back to this.
Okay, so
but when, yeah. Oh wait, I wanted to get back to the heteronormative stuff because yeah. There's a couple of things in this episode.
Yes.
First, when the owner of the Newport Bruco is talking about beer, I like beer, and he says, "What guy doesn't like beer?"
Yeah.
Which is like,
what guy doesn't like beer?
That's all. Like, it's stupid because like I grew up around beer drinkers. I'm from St. Louis, Missouri. Everyone drinks beer, no matter what. Yeah. Not only you like certain beers, you don't like other beers, but you like beer.
Yeah.
But
I
also
like a really sweet strawberry lager.
But it reminds me of like, I once remember hearing a woman, I can't remember who she was, but she was talking about how like, she's like, I like burgers, but if a burger is on the menu and its name is like the manly burger or like the Widowmaker or whatever, she's like, I'm not going to order it. Like, so when you talk about that, you're like alienating half of your customer base. So there was that, but then there was also, Charles telling Amber to go in and like
flirt.
When she goes in and flirts with him a little bit.
Yeah. So it's like entrapment and yeah, we want to see like, maybe he's just showing off for a pretty girl. Like, okay, we all know that Amber's pretty, but like, don't use,
I mean, you and I know for sure, cause we saw her in person.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Stunning.
She's a stunner. But yeah, it's just like a gross concept. Like, okay, go in there and flirt with her.
Yeah.
Go in there and flirt with the bartender. So she does. But yeah, no, what I was trying to say before is that when Charles Stiles and his protege like go into a bar for the first time, it's usually to like sample what they're good at. So he's talking about the restaurant. And when Charles like takes a sip or a bite of anything, his reaction is just so disingenuous and awkward.
That's really good.
He takes a sip of the beer and goes, oh, there's a really nice malty quality to it. And it's just so awful.
What I wrote down is there's a part later where they get some of the strawberry ale or lager, probably ale, and they both taste it. And the owner goes like, oh, it tastes like crap. Charles has the exact same reaction to the strawberry ale
as he had to the
Bruco, because he has no reaction.
No, like, reaction. He doesn't show emotion whatsoever. But yeah, he keeps calling it crap beer. And I so wanted a spit take. Like, if there was ever an opportunity for a spit take,
no,
it would have been that obnoxious owner doing
it. It was really like, because okay, we haven't talked about like,
no, this he is, did say it tastes like it came from a bathtub, or was that Amber?
Yeah.
Okay.
But so this officially the genre of Mystery Diners is a reality show.
Yeah.
But you'd have to have been born yesterday to think that any of this is real. It's
not
so fake.
It's so fake.
And the owner, his name is Michael Madlock.
I didn't even write it down.
I didn't write it down either, but I remember Madlock because it's like Matlock, but he's mad.
Yeah.
So Mr. Madlock, he's really doing some acting.
Oh, he's here. Fuming.
he's
jumping. Wait, what do we say?
Champing at the bit?
Yeah, but yeah, like we say, like, jumping mad.
Yeah,
hopping mad. Yeah,
yeah.
He's hopping mad.
He's really like, really, really acting it up. My favorite one's when he says, because they're selling out of a cooler, the cooler he got out of his trunk.
Yeah.
He says, I run a brewery, not a tailgate party.
Yeah.
And it's so clear that like that line was given to him.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Here, say this. Yeah. And I love that he sells it, because we'll cover more of these episodes, and we'll get to owners who don't go all in, and that's kind of funny in its own way too.
Yeah.
But I as much as I probably don't like this guy, I don't like the way that he scoffs at home brewers. I mean, I scoff at home brewers because it's like,
it's
cringe,
point,
but not, he's like, this, like, I'm the professional.
Yeah.
Sorry. Did you have more to say?
Oh, I have a lot more to say. Where do I start? No. It turns out he's selling his own strawberry ale or lager, and people have to pay cash for it. It's $4. And the way that he's like stealing from the restaurant, because it's also a restaurant, it's like a brew pub. If people want this special beer, they have to pay cash, and it's $4, and it's cheaper than the Newport brewing like brews on tap. So they're just making $4 a glass. And like when he pulls out the contents of his pockets, it's just like 8 ones. It's just like so sad. And then like when the sting kind of like hits its like breaking point is like when the owner gets so mad, like, I can't watch any more of this, because they're watching from a control room.
Yeah, right.
The whole time. Charles sets up a control room.
And the narrator, we haven't talked about how the narrator walks us through all the camera placements, which always, there are like, there's like a drink, you could do like a Mystery Diner's drinking game.
Yeah.
It starts with, tonight. That's always like the intro is like, tonight on Mystery Diners. But then there's a thing where there's like a 3D model of the restaurant. It shows you there are two cameras
in the behind front of the bar,
two at the brewery.
Yeah.
Two. And then it's like, and then it's always something along the lines of, we set up two cameras in the parking lot to track any action that happens outside. Any action that happens outside. It's always how it ends. And you could drink again. You could have a drink every time he says that.
There's also the employee that has the, totally like, conspicuous eyeglass cam when you'd be like, bro, what's up with your glasses? Like, are you like having trouble?
I know we're not doing the same format as our normal episodes, but this is my Mystery Diners but make it fashion moment.
The eyeglass cam.
Which that was Grant, the other Mystery Diner who was hired as a bar back.
Yeah.
And he's also got a really funny we're not doing the same format, but if I had funniest moments, there's two of them. And one of them is when Grant is being like on Charles's, like at Charles's prodding, being like conspiratorial with Mike, the bartender. And then he ends the conversation with like a fist bump. He does like a fist bump and then goes, like does that exploding.
Like,
thing
cool, what would a cool guy do?
And then the other funniest thing was back to Mr. Madlock when he's, I'll save this because you're gonna talk about when he goes and gets the offender, Mike the bartender.
Yeah. So he grabs it. So the plant who like is wearing the eyeglass cam.
Grant the plant.
Sometimes the like sexy girl is the employee of the restaurant who will like flirt with other employees.
Yeah. Sometimes it's Charles's daughter. That's my daughter, even... you creep. We have to make sure we cover that episode at some point.
Oh yeah. Brittany Styles.
Oh, I thought it was Destiny.
Destiny Styles. Anyway, so the owner goes and like, stop selling that crap. Get in here and brings the offending
party
into the control room. And that's always my favorite part is when the guy or gal gets into the control room and like looks around like, what is this place?
Again,
what's going on here?
Doing some acting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Anytime. What's funny is the people who are non-professionals.
Yeah.
Being bad at acting is not, it's like funny, but it's not surprising. What I hope we get to, we didn't really see any of this in this episode. Like Charles is also so terrible at acting.
He's terrible.
One of my favorite things that the show will do sometimes is when they're watching the monitors, they got a bunch of monitors in the control room and then something suspicious happens and there's a shot of Charles noticing something.
Yeah. Like a little, like, eyebrow raise.
Chin raise. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that. It's so bad.
Yeah. And then there's always, like the offending employee will always like do like a bargaining, like, well, I was going to share the, this is for you. I was going to share the profits with you. I think it'd be great.
Yeah.
And then the owner screams at him, you will never be a brewmaster.
Yep. He says, I wrote down, you know nothing. You will never be a brewmaster. But again, it's hilarious. But again, the way this show looks down on working people is, it makes me feel gross when I watch it.
Yeah.
I'm very happy to be laughing at show.
Them. Yes. Yeah. Yes. It's definitely from the perspective of the wealthy business owner who's like being preyed upon by these lowly skeeving poor people who are trying to steal from them.
Who know nothing and will never be brewmasters.
They'll never be brewmasters.
Was there anything else that you wanted to mention in this?
There's always on the show, there's always a little tag at the end, like 4 months later.
It's always 4 months later.
It's always 4 months, and it's always like, so-and-so never worked as a, like, it's like future telling in a way that, like, doesn't make any sense. Like, Michael never worked in this town again, or like Cherry got a job somewhere else, yeah, never to be heard from again. You know, yeah, like it's all
4 months.
Yeah. You know. It's been 4 months. Like, he might very well work somewhere else. Like, we don't know.
Yeah. The only thing I hadn't mentioned is the parts when, like, Charles and the owner are literally just narrating what we're seeing.
Yeah.
Now he's bringing the cooler behind the bar.
Yeah. 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 Coolers. He's going to bring it into the brewery.
All right. Well, I hope that you people, this is what you get for not,
this is what happens
for not voting on, yeah, what we should talk about.
Yeah.
We talked about Mystery Diners season 4, episode 2, Strange Brew. Should we, I'm wondering if we should put in the description of the episode, which Mystery Diners we watch, so that people,
in case people want to watch it,
if they want to, can go to we're not here to shill for Discovery Plus. That's just where this happens to be.
It just happens to be, yeah.
So people can go to Discovery Plus and watch it. Maybe I will put that in the show description at least.
Are they on YouTube? Did we fight? Like,
maybe the odd episode is.
Yeah.
They're all odd episodes. Mm. And other than that, you can find episodes of this podcast at battleshippretention.com. That's where you can find our P.O. box if you want to send us chunkies. you can follow me on Twitter at Davey Pretension. Email us at theonewhereimetyourmother@gmail.com. Also, you can comment on at Battleship Pretension. Like I said, tweet me. But yeah, email us at theonewhereimetyourmother@gmail.com. That's the best way,
yeah,
to get both of our attention.
Yeah.
That's where you can find me. Battleship Pretension is my other podcast where I talk about movies. That's where you can find me. Natalie, have you decided where you want the listeners to be able to find you online?
I want them to rate and review our podcast. Don't find me.
On iTunes. Can
rate and review on iTunes.
That helps us.
Yeah. But yeah, at the aforementioned email addresses, we'd be happy to engage with you. We're like parents disciplining a child. Like, if you don't eat your dinner, you're gonna go to bed hungry. Like, if you don't tell us, we're gonna keep watching Mystery Diners.
Well, I think at this point we're gonna keep watching Mystery Diners. I think that ship has sailed.
Okay.
I think we're gonna keep laughing about Mystery Diners because we've always wanted to do a Mystery Diners podcast, and this is like this is how we're doing it.
This is yeah.
So yeah, other than that,
Until next time, see you in the control room.